Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. We are Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game. KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette. It's time to step your game up.
Boy, you wouldn't know how to write your name if it wasn't set foot on your locker.
It's Rep Game with RP3. Raymond Parts the Third.
One of God's own prototypes. A high-powered mutant of some kind never even considered for mass production. Too weird to live, too rare to die.
Want to interact? Call in at 337-706-0111.
We have it.
RP3 is taking the mic and bringing you to the center of the sports world on Rep Game with RP3 on 103.7 The Game and 1037thegame.com.
You just got to keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
Solid. I'll tell you what I'm blathering about. I've got information, man.
Good morning, Acadiana. This is Raymond Parsha III, host of Rap Game with RP3 right here on 103.7 The Game, your home for the LSU Tigers. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios here in Upper Lafayette. You give us a call today on the ARCO Equipment Hotline, 337-706-0111. We have a jam-packed show, as always, for you on a Friday. Today, we will talk to the one and only, the king of all of Acadiana sports media, George Faust, will rejoin us after a few weeks away for some fireballs. That'll be coming up at 9:15. At 9:32, we'll welcome back Patrick McClellan. He's going to break down some Astros and some Houston Rockets. By the way, pitchers and catchers report next week. Spring training is already here, ladies and gentlemen. Baseball crept up real quick.
No, I wasn't supposed to be getting married until baseball season, and baseball season's here. Kind of a jarring moment.
The baseball season being here is a jarring moment. Or you're just now realizing that you're getting married like next week.
It was the other day when I went to go pick up the marriage license from the courthouse.
Yeah,
that was when it was like, oh, well, all right then. Here's your $2,750, John Bell Edwards, so I can get married. I'm sorry.
Just angry.
I thought it was dumb. I'm getting married and they charged me $2,750.
Hey, brother, I had to pay it too.
I know. I'm preaching to the choir, right? Sorry. I digress.
but I like how you associated baseball with getting married. Yeah.
But honestly, when we got engaged and we picked the date, I started looking and I was thinking, okay, make sure, like, Super Bowl's over with. That was the first thing I looked at because work's crazy. Weekends around that time are insane. So I was like, not near the Super Bowl. I was like, in between the Super Bowl and baseball season will be perfect. And I was like, great. And baseball's so far away. And now, you know, we're talking baseball. It is that time.
Yes, it is. College baseball starts on a week from today.
College softball has begun.
College softball began yesterday.
Here. Yes.
College baseball starts next Friday. LSU opens up against ULM there at Alex Box Stadium a week from today. UL opens up at Russo against Texas. The Longhorns, Hook 'em Horns, will be coming to town for a three-game series. So right around the corner. We'll talk a little LSU baseball as well as recap some National Signing Day and preview Saturday's LSU men's basketball game at home inside the PMAC versus Auburn. You can listen to that game live right here, pregame 12:30 on Saturday, tip at 1. And we'll do that with our good friend Tyler Nunes of Tiger Rag. So we'll also have my rant of the week and RPOs with RP3. But I want to lead the show off with Anthony Davis and the Pelicans. They're reunited. And does it feel so good?
Reunited and it feels so awkward.
Awkward. By the way, big up to whoever controls the King Cake Baby Twitter account because they posted something yesterday.
Is it at King Cake Baby?
Yes.
That's the best.
King Cake. It's just a slow gif of the King Cake Baby walking by and staring at the camera and keeps walking. And the tagline says, I will not be traded today. Carry on with your business. First of all, love the King Cake Baby. But after weeks of just unprecedented drama involving the New Orleans Pelicans and Anthony Davis, the trade deadline comes and goes, and AD is still a member of the Pels. They make a couple of moves. I'll dive into those genius front office moves by Dell Demps. That's sarcasm, by the way, dripping through the microphone. And all we heard, I mean, things got so petty. You know, he asked for a trade. He tells them that he's not going to be signing the extension, the quarter of a $1 billion extension that the Pels can offer him, and that he wants to be traded. And he tells his teammates, and it's essentially a goodbye, and he does it a couple days before it even breaks. And then he gets leaked by his agent that he wants to be traded. And then there's the whole media firestorm about that. And Alvin Gentry's getting testy, having to answer questions. And all this time, Anthony Davis is actually injured. So when this breaks, he's got his finger injury. He's not even on the court. He's not playing. He doesn't address the media for almost a week. His teammates have to answer the questions. The Pels have to figure out what the hell they're going to do now. Dale Demps is under a microscope for all of his terrific moves he's made as a general manager.
That's terrible.
That's right. Yeah, there you go. Thank you, Charles. And the Lakers becomes public. You know, the Lakers are trying to get him, and they do everything that they have. They do the Godfather offer, where they offer four players all under the age of 25, and then they throw in a couple of veterans in there, and then they throw in picks. Hell, I want to say that Magic Johnson threw in his late-night talk show from the 90s on VHS and maybe a signed autograph poster of Paula Abdul, former Laker girl. Yeah, I don't know what he threw in there for the Godfather offer, but whatever it was, the Pels didn't take it. And Anthony Davis remains a New Orleans Pelican. And it broke, I want to say, late Wednesday or even on Thursday, early Thursday it might have been, that AD was like, I want to play. If I'm not going to be traded, I want to play with my teammates. And you got the impression from members of his teammates that things that were said in the media that they, you know, they kind of supported his decision, but they wanted to play with him. So the Pels, a statement is released around 8 o'clock last night. Talk about a dump, like just dump it off, throw it out there. A statement from New Orleans Pelicans GM Dale Demps released the following statement. Quote, Anthony Davis will play the remainder of the 2018-19 season for the New Orleans Pelicans. A number of factors contributed to this decision. I will personally, Raymond Parch will elaborate on what that really is, what that really means. He goes on to say, ultimately, Anthony made it clear to us that he wants to play and he gives our team the best opportunity to win games. Moreover, the Pelicans want to preserve the integrity of the game and align our organization with NBA policies. We believe Anthony playing upholds the values that are in the best interest of the NBA and its fans. We look forward to seeing Anthony in a Pelicans uniform again soon. You know what that statement is all about, the one that gets dumped off to members of the media after 8 o'clock on a Thursday night? That means that the NBA, Sterling, the big boys at the office, Adam Silver, you know what they did? They had a phone call with Dale Demps, and they took him to the woodshed. And they basically told him, look, you didn't want to trade him? That's great. This guy's an all-star. He's an MVP candidate. If you think for any stretch of the imagination that you are going to sit a healthy Anthony Davis for the remainder of the season and take your pettiness to the next level, you got another thing coming. The NBA front office, the suits, they stepped in. And that's where you get this statement from Dale Demps talking about, we want to preserve the integrity of the game and align our organization with NBA policies. No, that's because Adam Silver said it was going to be your behind if you didn't play Anthony Davis since you decided not to trade him. That's a flex move. That is Craig stepping up to Debo from Friday kind of move. That's exactly what occurred last night. Will this help the Pelicans? I think you're going to see them win games. I think now, here's the thing. This is how Dale Demps and the front office of the Pelicans have butchered this whole situation. So now they're forced to play AD. So you know AD is going to play hard. And you know the other guys that are on this roster, whether it's Julius Randle or Elfrid Payton, or you know Drew Holiday is going to come and bring it 110%. And Okafor and all these other guys that have gotten playing time, because they know that their time in New Orleans is going to come to an end by the summer. Because in the summer, the Pels are going to be forced to trade AD. And I can guarantee you this right now. Record it. Put this clip in the bank. Dale Demps will get fleeced if he's still the general manager. because everyone else in the league, whether it's Danny Ainge or whoever else may be, is licking their chops at this because they see how vulnerable and how awful a general manager Dell Demps is. And if the Pelicans are smart, Dell Demps will not be the one making this decision come summer. But that's going to require some effort by Gail Benson, New Orleans Saints owner, and Mickey Loomis, who runs the front office of both the Saints and the Pelicans, because they've spent so much time focused on the Saints, they do not give a damn about the Pels. It shows by the fact that they have allowed Dell Demps to run this franchise into the ground. If they cared more, if they only cared 10% more about the Pels, we wouldn't be in this situation. Plain and simple. But they don't care. They care about the Saints. That's their number one priority. And you can kind of understand that. But if they just give any, just a drive-by kind of checking in with the franchise would be helpful. Because if they don't, if Gail Benson and Mickey Loomis and the rest of that front office don't care about this franchise is going to bail and it's going to be relocated in 5 years to Seattle. Because if you're not going to invest time and effort and bring perspective and bring knowledge to how to run this franchise similar to how you run the Saints, then why even bother having it? You're wasting our time. But that's a rant for another day.
I was going to ask you, and this is not the rant of the week right now?
No, this is not.
That's later, right?
This is not the rant of the week. The Pell situation just gets me fired up. I apologize.
No, it's fine. It's fine. I was looking at my little rundown here, and I was like, rant of the week is not till hour two. What are we doing?
But here's the thing. Here's the thing. They'd make two moves yesterday. And here's the top it all off. They traded for Nico last year. You know what they gave up last year, Cody?
The first-round pick.
They gave up a first-round pick to the Bulls.
Right.
And they dumped off a bunch of garbage players and a first-round pick to get Nico. A year later, they trade him. You know what they got back for him?
A heap of garbage. Four second-round picks and some guys with some of the whitest names ever in the NBA.
They got a couple of old white dudes.
Yep.
And here's the thing. They're so worried about being petty that they just traded Nico to the team with the best record in the league, and they didn't get a first-round pick for him, which is what they gave up a year ago. That's their big trade move. A bunch of slow white dudes and future picks that are going to make up the G League team for the Pels, and they gave Nico to the best team in the NBA record-wise. And then, by the way, the other move that they made, so they traded for Morris, who's a good player, good forward. He's a good big. He's going to get you almost a double-double. They got a second-round pick for their troubles to get Washington out of the luxury tax, essentially, and they get Morris in between, and Morris will be a contributor. Do you know who Morris's agent is, ladies and gentlemen? Oh, he's only the person that has been viewed as the most hated person in all this Pelicans drama. Rich Paul, who's affiliated with the Lakers and LeBron James. So, for real, that's the move you make. You know what would be great? We could really use this Morris fella. He could help us. Oh, who's he represented by? Why do I know that name? Oh, I don't know. How does Dell Demps get dressed every day? I have questions. For real. Oh, man. Oh, the Pelicans. Well, Anthony Davis will be able to wear some of those sweet New Orleans Mardi Gras jerseys at least.
Hey, they are cool.
Those are pretty fly. So, that's a win for us. So, good job, Dell Demps. GM of the year right there. Ouch. When we come back, Fireballs with Fausti right here on Rap Game with RP3 on 103.7 The Game, your home for the LSU Tigers. Welcome back to Rap Game with RP3. I'm your host, Raymond Parts III, here on 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios, and we're going to head out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline because it's Friday, it's 9:15, and that means it's time for some fireballs with George Faust. Fausty, how are you this morning, brother?
I'm doing good, man. Good to talk to you.
All right, brother, let's get right to it.
All right. Sounds good.
Pels, situation. Your thoughts. Is it a good thing having Anthony Davis play the remainder of the season, or is it a bad idea? You go.
I think it's a horrible idea, you know, especially because he's so injury-prone. He's shown throughout his career that he's susceptible to getting injury. It doesn't bode well for the Pels to even let him sniff the court at all. And they're in such a good power position, the Pels are, with regards to this trade, that it, you know, you're only going to be in that position for a certain amount of time. So you got to keep him, in tune and check and make sure that that he doesn't get hurt. It's because he's right now your ace in the hole, your chance to get something solid back for him, and I just think it's definitely one of those things where you can't mess with this, because they have to have the leverage, and right now they're doing all right, but you can't let him get on the court and mess that up by getting hurt.
Well, and here's the other thing, George. He's going to get on the court, and it hurts the Pels this way, because they're going to win more games now.
Right.
And they're going to play themselves out of the lottery.
I actually thought the exact same thing. They can play as hard without him. They can play so super hard that it'd be phenomenal, right? It'd be way okay that they'll play hard and be in every game, and then they're going to lose, and that's fine. Because then you get that chance for a lottery pick. Absolutely.
Faust, next question, brother. The Raging Cajuns sure men's basketball team. They are struggling. Can they turn it around tonight inside the Cajun Dome? And more importantly, do they need to be able to kind of salvage their season?
Yeah, look, I absolutely think that they can. And I think the great thing about the Sun Belt Conference is that you're never too far away from turning it around. And I think Coach Bob Marlin has that opportunity to do that. You know, I think he's got one of those teams that they just need to dig in right now. They're kind of in a little bit of a slump, so to speak. So once you get that chance to kind of get things back together, and this might be it. You know, a nationally televised game, a chance to play one of the conference's better teams. This is an opportunity. This is the opportunity for them to take hold and show what they can do, because you're on a national stage now, and you want to represent your school well, and you want to turn it around, because in the end, there's a possibility that this might come back, push your season forward, be the catalyst for the turnaround. Now, they can do it. It's going to be difficult, though, for them. It definitely will be difficult.
We'll keep it on the hardwood, Fausty. Let's go to LSU men's basketball team. They escaped with a win over Mississippi State on Wednesday night there in Stark, Vegas. They welcome an Auburn team who started off the season hot, dipped down, got out of the top 25, but now they appear to be playing at a high level again. Tell me a little bit of how you feel about this LSU men's basketball team heading into Saturday's matchup with Auburn.
Man, let me tell you what, they have looked really good and played really well. Tremont Waters has been a guy that, you know, you look at the way he plays and you're like, man, it's just impressive. He's just been lights out for him. And I think what's most surprising is I think the fact that people just didn't expect this team to be this good at this point. And so the fact that they're tallying so many wins and doing so well in the SEC, it kind of catches people a little off guard. But, you know, LSU and Will Wade, they've done a great job of putting this team back, putting basketball back into the forefront. It's not now basketball season isn't just, you know, something to do in between football and baseball season, you know. Now you actually have something to root for with regards to the Tigers and on the hardwood. And I think, look, Auburn, they're taking on Auburn. That'll be a game, another SEC game, but I think that's a contest they can win and not have to worry too much about. Just got to continue to take care of business, because right now you're setting yourself up for a great position. And, you know, you heard Will Wade talk about it a bunch. They got a lot of work to do. He's not happy with where they are, which is kind of hard to say because they're playing so well. But he's not happy with it. He wants more. And that's the kind of the attitude you want from a head coach and a guy who's got the talent on that team. And he thinks they can do a little bit more. And he's trying to push that. And so I like what this team is doing. It gives you hope for LSU hoops for sure in the future.
Fausti, let's stay at LSU, but go over to football. National Signing Day, the Tigers put the kind of finishing touches on a terrific class, ranked in the top five by most recruiting services nationally. Unfortunately, they are behind three other SEC teams in most of those rankings, Alabama, Georgia, and Texas A&M. That said, how much of a damper does Softshore not signing with LSU instead of signing with Alabama, how much of a damper does that put on this recruiting class, which the class itself is stellar. It's a terrific class. But once again, Alabama comes into LSU's backyard and poaches one of their best players.
Look, I'm gonna take a line from Hoosiers, and I want LSU fans to listen up. I would hope you would support the team we are, not the team that we are not. Do you remember that in Hoosiers?
I have it on Blu-ray at the house, Fausti. Yes, by me.
I know you do. I didn't know you did, but absolutely, I figured that it was. It's one of the best basketball and sports movies of all time. But the point being that you can't sit there and worry about what a 17, 18-year-old kid does because it's best for him. So now LSU, you can't. I mean, look at the class that Coach O and the Tigers have put together. You have to be pleased with that. And look, kid doesn't want to come to LSU. That's all right. That's fine. You know, go to Alabama, but watch. I think they're building something really special at LSU. I think they really have their eye on what they're trying to achieve as another national championship. I think they're taking the right steps to make that happen. So if he doesn't want to be a part of it, you just say, all right, c'est la vie, and we're going to ride or die with the guys that we went and got and the guys that want to be a part of the university. And we'll see you in November.
Well, Fausti, we ride and die with you, brother. We ride and die with you. Thanks for coming on, brother.
Always, man. Love to do it.
That was the King, King George Fausti. Obviously, it sounded like King Cake Baby was there helping him with the Fireballs edition today. This is Rap Game with RP3. When we come back, Patrick McClellan is going to join us talking Rockets, Astros here on 103.7 The Game, your home for the LSU Tigers. Welcome back to Rap Game with RP3. I'm your host, Raymond Parks III, right here on 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios. You can give us a call on the ARCO Equipment Hotline at 337-706-0111. And that's where we're going to head out to right now as we welcome on our good friend Patrick McClellan, host of the Lima Time podcast, stand-up comedian, and proud resident of Houston, Texas. Patrick, how are you this morning, brother?
Why are you lying? You know we're enemies right now. We're battling. We're feuding, I thought.
We're feuding? We're feuding? We're battling?
Yeah, we're in a war right now.
Oh,
I don't know if you know that or not.
No, I was not aware. What is this war?
Well, I was just gonna keep saying I was gonna come on and just never come on again. I was gonna keep doing that. See how many consecutive weeks I could do it before. Before you really were like, okay, this is very offensive.
I love it. Patrick, I want to start off with something, and I'd love to get your insight on this. So Major League Baseball has decided that there's no such thing as a disabled list anymore. It's right. Now going to become the injured list.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that? Do you think it's just PR culture run amok? Do you think it's silly? Or do you think it's not even worth, you know, worth talking about?
For that one, I like it. I personally like it. There's no reason. I mean, it was stupid to begin with, the disabled list, unless you're talking about discomfort in the Houston Astros, then it is disabled. But no, I mean, there's no reason to use it. I know the baseball people are like, oh, you can't change anything. We're going to haunt the universe forever with the old rules, but you can't change anything because it's a sacred game. But yeah, I this one makes sense to me. It's the other stuff that they're talking about that's egregious to me.
Like what, Patrick?
Elaborate. Oh, no, just the runner from second base. Like it's basically extra innings could end up like a hockey shootout or overtime where it deserves probably half of a win. If you score a run off a guy getting on second in the extra innings, you don't deserve a win for that. After a base up, you have to play in 3.5 hours. That makes me mad. Low in the mail, just a bunch of stupid stuff.
Yeah, it's
and the DH one. I'm on board with the DH. I used to be a National League guy. I used to be very much against it, but no, that's pitchers don't need to be hitting. We don't need lineups turning over. Let's just get DHs and let the fat guys really reap the benefits.
Well, and I was, I grew up a National League guy as Atlanta Braves fan, so I was always against the DH as well. But things have changed, though, right, Patrick? I mean, it used to be that these guys, even the best pitchers, did know how to hit a little bit because they were forced to. Now you got these kids that with select travel ball, you got guys that are being developed as pitchers from the age of 11, 12, 13 years old, and they never learn how to hit a baseball, right? So you're
well, it's just stupid because you have to hit in high school, and you have to hit. I mean, you should. And I mean, I guess there's a big gap between elite high school pitching and average high school pitching. So you really don't get to hit, but I mean, you still should be able to work a bat around. And I'm still for the DH. I'd rather have a guy that can hit 270 and 30 home runs than have to see Madison Baumgartner try to lay down a sack bunt.
I agree with you. Look, the designated hitter's been around since, 1973? So, in the American League. So it's been around that long. Why not just have it for both leagues? I know a lot of purists, like you said, you can't have that. Well, you know what? There's a lot of things that have gone by the wayside, too. There's a lot of things that society and baseball were okay with back in the 20s and 30s that we don't do anymore. So it's okay to adapt and change. You know what I'm saying?
Right. And it should be a uniform league. I mean, it's kind of cool that you have the little differences, and that's the only reason you have the AL and the NL and all that stuff. But, I mean, honestly, with a DH, you're protecting your assets and your pitchers. You don't have. I mean, you don't want them swinging at it and having an elbow go out or having to run the bases and get. You know, just anything can happen. So protect your pitchers. Like you don't. Who really wants their ace? Who wants Justin Verlander taking cuts? No.
No one.
Absolutely
no,
not.
No. We do not want to see that because it will be atrocious and the game has slowed down enough. So we can't have that anymore. We're on with Patrick McClellan, a comedian, and he's host of The Shift on Sports Radio 610. There in Houston, he's also host of the number one Astros podcast, Lima Time Time. Patrick, a former Astro, decided to keep his career going on by signing with the arch rival, the Texas Rangers. I'm talking about Hunter Pence, the former UTA college star. He's right there from the Metroplex area. He was a draft pick of the Astros, came up in their system before going on to play for the Phillies and winning a World Series title, I'll say maybe two, with the San Francisco Giants. When the Stros and Rangers play and when Pence comes back to Houston, will you cheer him or will you rain boos on him and show him absolutely no mercy?
I'm not a big boo person, so I wouldn't do that anyway. But I love Hunter Pence. I remember I went down to Corpus one time. One of my buddies, Matt Albers, pitched for the Astros and had a nice major league career. But he was down when he was in Double-A with the Hooks. Pence was there, and we went down there and watched him. He was fun to watch. He does have the eyes of like a weird cat, but that's okay. And he's got a giraffe-like build, cat eyes. But he wore his socks high, which is nice. He always looked like a ball player, which I respected. And,
right.
He was indicative of a simpler time in Astros lore. But no, I'm not gonna boo him. Now, you know who I will boo? Well, I don't. I already said I don't boo. But pretty much the rest of the team, Gallo, Odor, all these guys. I have no respect for anybody else, but I do respect him.
Now you say, Patrick, you're admitting to us on the live right here on 103.7 The Game that you do not boo other teams, but do you do other things? Yeah, never hold up in court. Do you do other things? Like, are you going to be, are you going to try to be like Robert De Niro in The Fan? You're just going to be stalking them outside in the parking lot in the dark?
Yeah, I'm going to steal somebody's jerseys and be on the beach with their dog and be creepy. What a creepy movie that is, just for a little sidebar there. It's very creepy.
Yes.
And
yes.
Wesley Snipes, honestly, he knows who it was. It was Wesley Snipes, right?
Yeah, it was Wesley Snipes who played the Barry and Bonds
was,
character.
As Willie Mays Hayes. He was playing Willie Mays Hayes, right?
Yeah.
He got traded. Okay. Yeah. I don't know. That's stupid. No, I don't. I really don't like the Rangers in any of their players. I think it's a dumb organization, and they should move it to Oklahoma. Oh, just kidding. It's already in Oklahoma. Got him.
Oh, there it is. A little Oklahoma shade as well. Let's move it on. Look, it was announced this week that front office would like to find a way to extend Verlander's, Mr. Cade Upton's contract. He's in the last year of that $180 million deal that he locked up with the Tigers, and obviously he was traded to the Astros, and he's been phenomenal, helped the team win a World Series. He provides great leadership. We know what he brings to the table, but he's also, you know, in his mid to late 30s now. From your perspective as a diehard Astros fan, do you want them to extend Verlander, or are you worried that you're going to give him that big extension and he's going to all of a sudden start losing a little bit of his stuff?
I mean, it all depends. Of course, obviously, I mean, off the rip, you want Justin Verlander to return and finish his career here. I've seen no signs of any kind of decline. He's pitching the best he's ever pitched, as far as I'm concerned. That being said, that you do decrease rapidly as you age. I think it would depend on the contract. If they could get some sort of, 3 years or under, or some incentivized, 2 year with a player option or something, just where it was just for make both parties happy, then do it. Pay him whatever he wants. You keep him and Cole together, and then you just keep your core together. So at least for 2022 or 23, when Correa and Bregman and everybody else is up, just keep the team together, and we'll be fine. We'll win three or four more World Series, it'll be good.
We're on with Patrick McClellan. Patrick, let's switch over to the hardwood. Let's talk about the Rockets, who have become one of the better teams in the Western Conference after that sluggish start to the season when they were hanging out with Carmelo. I say hanging out because there wasn't a lot of good basketball being played.
There was not. There's not much at all, no.
Let's talk a little bit about their moves during the trade deadline. They were active, as always. They do a nice job of always being active, and I think they did a fairly good job of purging some bad contracts.
They absolutely did.
They did the three-team trade with the Cavs and the Kings. By the way, Sactown being a good basketball team is surprising, and I welcome it. I always liked when Sacramento was good back in the day. So the Rockets unloaded.
So they had like one good team with Mitch Richmond.
Yeah, way back in the day. Yeah, it was Mitch Richmond.
Chris Mullin.
No, you're way thinking of Golden State. Yeah, you're thinking of old Warriors.
Tim Hardaway, all these guys. Yeah,
you're thinking of old Warriors.
Oh, that's the Warriors. Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. The Kings, though, that was Tyus Edney. Anyway, go ahead.
So the Rockets are involved in that three-team trade the other day with the Cavs and the Kings, where the Rockets unloaded Marquese Chris and Brandon Knight to the Cavs. And then another trade with the Philadelphia 76ers. Houston dumped off James Enos III. They were all not very great players, and now they join the ranks of what Michael Carter Williams and obviously Carmelo as guys that couldn't last a year. But Houston also received in that three-team trade was Amon Shumpert, who's a good defender, Nick Stauskas, and Wade Baldwin IV. Those later two guys, then they were flipped to the Pacers to clear up cap space. So what did you think of getting in the guys that they dumped, getting rid of some of that dead weight and bringing in a guy who can definitely defend the ball in Shumpert?
Yeah, you really gotta give Daryl Morey just a ton of credit. He's incredible. He's managed to improve the basketball team while also getting the team, I believe, under the luxury tax number, if I'm not mistaken, clearing up space. I mean, he's setting up future moves and still improving the team. He needs to be respected. I'm not saying people don't respect him, but my word, he's really good at his job.
And, you know, you bring in a guy like that. We talked about in the preseason about defense was going to be, you know, a liability for this team, and that they needed to get, because the guys that they let go and guys that walked in free agency. And Shumpert, it'll play a role. Look, he's never going to be an offensive-minded cat. You know, he's just not. If you're depending on him to drain a three late in the game,
you're already dead.
Well, or you're the Cleveland Cavaliers. So
nice.
You know, but for them, I think it's a smart move by Morey, and and for them moving forward, because they're going to make – look, you got one of the top five best players in the league, the guy, the reigning MVP on the court.
You have the best player in the league, yeah. And you, and also, like, that's just solidifying your roster for the playoffs. Shumpert's going to be a guy that's going to give you valuable minutes in the playoffs when they need him. So, like, and they're really with Fareed in the middle, and they've done some good stuff. I mean, like, I'm excited for this team somehow from that start. I don't know how we got here, but James Harden, that's right.
But
you get Chris Paul healthy, like that's a really gritty team with certain combination of players on the floor.
So there's also the rumor that's out there that Houston could also pick up Robin Lopez, who's rumored to be bought out by the Bulls. And you can get him on the cheap. Well, how do you feel about that? I mean, that gives you a rim protector,
he's
right?
He's on my short list of just players that always just really rub me the wrong way. I've just never liked them. But that being said, it wouldn't be the worst thing to have on your team. You know what I mean? So, like, I can't, from a basketball, like an actual basketball perspective, I'm like, okay, that'd be great. But I hate him.
He hates one of the Lopez brothers. We're learning more about Patrick here.
Yeah, I hate them both just by default. I'm not gonna play favorites. I just hate them both just automatically.
Patrick, from afar, what do you think about the Pelicans situation with Anthony Davis and how everything has turned out? And now, you know, yesterday the trade deadline comes and goes. Obviously, the NBA has a talking to Dell Demps. And they released a statement that Anthony Davis will, in fact, play the rest of the season if he's healthy, because it's all about the integrity of the game, which tells me that Silver gave him a tongue lashing. But then they do other moves, like Demps trades for a guy from the Wizards who's represented by Rich Paul.
Right.
And they trade Nico. They gave up a first rounder last year for Nico. And they only got a second rounder and a bunch of guys that are going to be on G League teams. Like, why is anyone allowing Dell Demps to run an NBA front office? I do not understand. But from afar, from a guy who roots for one of the other teams in the Western Conference, what's your thoughts on what's going on with the Pels and Anthony Davis?
Well, I think it's sad. First off, sad on multiple levels. Sad because New Orleans is not going to be able to keep Anthony Davis. But it's also sad that they can't – that guy, he should be locked up forever. You can't let a player like that that's a potentially all-time great and definitely one of the top players in the league right now. You got to keep him at all costs. You can't let him walk. They'll never get it back.
Yeah, they never
– it's a franchise-ending move. As far as I'm concerned, like, you have to keep him. It looks like he's already out. You know how NBA players are. Once they're done, they're done. And they mentally check out, and that's that. But, man, I don't.
And to be fair, he gave him, what, 7 years?
And you know what? Yeah, and you have to. That's what – he's just – I don't know. Him walking away is going to be tough. And, like, I know they're not exactly selling out, though. What's that, the Smoothie King Center?
Blender. Yeah, they struggle to sell out.
This is gonna be killer for the franchise, and I just feel bad for the people in New Orleans, because that would be fine. At least they've had the blessing of being able to watch Anthony Davis for the years he wasn't injured. It's been fun, but yeah, they're dead. That's that.
Yeah, they're dead.
And the Pelicans are a dumb bird. Well, I don't care if it's a state bird; it's a dumb bird, and it has a big giant dumb beak.
It's a dumb bird.
It's a dumb name for a team. It's like, the Pelicans, really? Why don't you just be like the Seagulls while you're at it? I mean, come on. Anyway, so that's irrelevant.
So I guess we're going on a limb here, Patrick, and say that you're not a fan of the minor league baseball team formerly known as the Zephyrs, now known as the New Orleans Baby Cakes.
No, that logo is extremely creepy. And the Zephyrs had cool uniforms. I remember because they were in the Astros organization when I was a kid, and like they had these cool, like they were blue and green with the Z on it. Their uniforms were always cool. But no, the Baby Cakes is just a little too much for me. It looks like a haunted doll.
So to recap for Patrick, he hates the Lopez brothers.
Yep.
He can't tell you why. He just does. He thinks.
Look at their face. Look at their faces. That's one of them. Faces and their haircuts. That's it.
Hunter Pence has weird-looking eyes. He's a weird-looking cat. And that he hates the Pelicans, that it's a stupid bird. and that the king cake and that the king cake baby the baby cakes is a stupid name and a creepy doll from like one of the Conjuring movies.
Yep, absolutely.
All right,
I stand by all that. You can put that on the record.
Patrick, appreciate you coming on, brother. I hope you have a terrific weekend. We'll talk to you next week, my friend.
All right, let's do it.
Patrick McClellan. He's the host of the Astros podcast. The Lima Time Time. Lima Time 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 Time.
Do you remember that commercial? The Jose Lima commercial where he was saying, it was, I forget what, it was for a restaurant. Applebee's maybe or something like that. And he was like, it's Lima Time Time. And he does the whole, it's the best.
It is the best. It is the best.
They should run that again.
Oh.
Jose Lima, no longer with us, right? Rest in peace, I believe.
I believe
so.
We'll efforting looking that up. Research. Yeah,
Google.
Research team.
Help me,
get
Google.
On it. We'll wrap up the first hour of Rap Game with RP3 right here on 103.7 The Game. Welcome back to Rap Game with RP3. I'm your host, Raymond Parsh III, here on 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. Give us a call on Narco Equipment Hotline today, 337-706-0111. I want to wrap up the first hour by talking a little NFL. The NFL Combine, in particular, held in Indianapolis. They're at Lucas Oil Stadium, home of the Indianapolis Colts. The SEC, as you can imagine, dominated how many players were invited to the annual, what we call Underwear Olympics, that are held February 26th to March the 4th. The NFL invited a total of 338 prospects. 90 of them come from the SEC. 90. It was the largest total among conferences by a long shot. The next closest was the Big Ten with 53. Think about that. LSU, though, is going to be well represented, ladies and gentlemen. A total of 6 Tigers will be taking their showing off their talent, so to speak, there for every NFL front office person doing the interviews, running the 40-yard dash, the cone drill, bench press, all the other good stuff. There will be running back Nick Brossette, who took part in the East-West Shrine game. He's going to try to increase his draft stock by going to the combine. Tight end Foster Moreau and place kicker Cole Tracy. Both of those guys played in the Reese's Senior Bowl in Mobile. They're going to try to keep that momentum going. They're going to the combine. The Dick Butkus Award winner themselves, the All-American Devin White, and fellow All-American cornerback Greedy Williams will be there as well for LSU. And the last but not least, safety John Battle. He did not get a chance to go to any of the All-Star games, but he's a senior, heck of a player. He's going to the combine. So 6 LSU Tigers have accepted their invitations to go to the NFL combine to try to help their increase their draft stock. So congratulations to them. When we come back, second hour of Rap Game with RP3 will be on deck. My rant of the week's coming up right here on 103.7 The Game.
Live and local from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette. We are Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game, KLWB, Karen Crow, Lafayette. It's time to step your game up.
Boy, you wouldn't know how to write your name if it wasn't stepped like locker.
It's Rap Game with RP3, Raymond Parch III.
One of God's own prototypes. High-powered mutant of some kind never even considered for mass production. Too weird to live, too rare to die.
Want to interact? Call in at 337-706-0111.
We have it? Yeah, we have it.
RP3 is taking the mic and bringing you to the center of the sports world on Rap Game with RP3 on 103.7 The Game and 1037thegame.com.
You just got to keep living, man. L-I-V-I-N.
I'll tell you what I'm blathering about. I've got information, man.
Let me tell you something. You know what really grinds my gears?
Uh-oh. RP3 is ready to sound off.
Serenity now! Serenity now!
Serenity now!
Serenity now!
Serenity now!
Serenity now!
This is more than a complaint, but less than a tirade. This is Ray's Rant of the Week.
National Signing Day. It has become a monster, has it not? It's now not only regulated to one day of the year. Now we got two of them. in all the coverage. ESPN going from signing day ceremony, signing day ceremony. The kids now make it so detailed where they have four, five, six different hats. It's like a Price is Right game where they pick one hat and it's like, oh no, I'm gonna put that one down, or they rip off the shirt and there's another shirt underneath it of where they're really going in. They got mamas beside them that get that surly look like Landon Collins' mama did all those years ago when he decided to go to Alabama over LSU at the Under Armour All-American game. And she looked like she just wanted to slap the taste out of somebody's mouth. It's become this monster. And we constantly feed it. And it's all the recruiting services that go in are involved with it. It's become just this monstrous thing. But I think people have lost their way on what this really means. Look, National Signing Day is no longer about the top recruits. It just isn't. It's not about guys like Ishmael Sofzer, who yesterday at Emeet High School opted to go to Alabama over LSU, with ESPN being right there broadcasting the decision at 12:45 live on air. That's not what this is about anymore. Because the big guys, the five stars, the blue chippers, they're going to get their love. They don't need National Signing Day anymore. They just don't. Do you think Derek Stingley Jr., the number one rated prospect in the country, the number one rated cornerback in the country, do you think he needed some type of special National Signing Day ceremony to decide where he was going when he ultimately ended up deciding going to LSU and enrolling early? And the legend of Derek Stingley Jr. has already started by him already taking part in practice. No. These guys, those blue chippers, those five-star guys, even those really heralded four-star prospects, they don't need National Signing Day anymore, guys. They just don't. It's not about them. It's not for them anymore. It's not. Because they've already decided where they're going to go. They're being offered when they're sophomores in high school. They're being recruited earlier and earlier. They're going to the camps. All the recruiting services are already on them doing profiles and all that. Okay? And teams are fighting for them, especially now in the early signing period. So the traditional National Signing Day that occurred on Wednesday of this week is not about them anymore. It's about those lesser guys. And I don't mean lesser in a negative way. I'm talking about the less heralded guys, the guys that don't get as much publicity, the guys that maybe play for teams that are experiencing losing seasons, that aren't having the opportunity to play down in the Mercedes-Benz Superdome for a state championship. National Signing Day is about them now. It's important to them, and that's what you got to understand. And I know people love knocking on National Signing Day, and you can. And if you want to, that's fine. But it still means something. It may not mean anything to those big blue chippers, but it means something to these kids. Look at all the guys that signed throughout Acadiana this week. You got Latrell Charles from Acadiana High. He's going to go play at Tyler Junior College. He's going to try to improve his stock, go to JUCO for a couple years, hope that a team wants to take a flyer on him after that, maybe give him a scholarship, or maybe he, you know, walks on somewhere. So him having his ceremony there at Acadiana High School, the Wrecking Ram star, this is a huge deal for him. He gets to go play football a little bit longer. He may not be playing in the SEC, but he still gets to go play football at Tyler Junior College. Jontrell Stewart from Bro Bridge is another one. He's decided to play football at Dodge City Community College. Once again, another JUCO guy. Gets the opportunity. So for National Signing Day for Jontrell, that's a big deal. Hey, I get to have the chance to go play football. You have tons of other guys that throughout the area, a lot of them decided that they are going to be preferred walk-ons, or in the case of going to play for a place like Louisiana College in Pineville, which is a Division III program, that's not a national letter of intent that they signed. The kids actually sign paperwork to attend the school, and then they simply walk on. Okay, that's how that works. But this is still a big deal. Are you telling me that a kid like Todrick Paul from Generette, which hasn't had a winning season in a generation, it was a big deal for him to have his National Signing Day ceremony on Wednesday because he's signing to go play for Grambling State? when you're experiencing in a small town like Jenneret is, in a community like that, and the program has had, it's been on a downturn, and they haven't had a lot to celebrate. Having him have a National Signing Day event and signing that letter of intent to go play for the Tigers of Grambling State is a big deal, not only for him, but for that program, for that school, and for that community. Same thing can be said over in St. Martinville. Marcus Cormier and Markavian Williams both announced that they were going to be walking on to go play for UL. They're going to try to walk on for the Raging Cajuns. But the big get on Wednesday was Travian Benjamin. This is a kid that rushed for over 2,000 yards and scored 43 rushing touchdowns as a senior and did not have a single offer on the table despite being an All-State player the year before and All-State player again until after the season. And the first team to offer him was Southern University. Navy came in with another offer, some other people. He stayed true to the team that wanted to come after him right off the bat, and he signed with Southern. That was a huge deal for Travian Benjamin because he was overlooked. Just like Todrick Paul was overlooked because they may be a little bit smaller. They may not be as big as some of the other quote-unquote blue-chip prospects. But that does not mean, ladies and gentlemen, that playing football at the next level doesn't mean something to them, that it's not their dream, that they're not going to work their absolute tails off to make it happen at the next level and make everyone regret not looking at them because they may be only 5'10" and 185 pounds. So, yes, the luster of National Signing Day is not what it once was because it's been split into two parts. And in this modern era, the blue chippers have taken over with all the announcements and the ridiculousness of the hats on the table and announcing the decisions at the Under Armour All-American game and everything like that. And it takes away from the traditional National Signing Day period. And it's true, majority of the 2019 class for every program across the board at the D1 level was already locked up back in December. But it does not mean that it doesn't mean anything. It still does. It just now means more to those guys that are signing now. And these are the guys that are going to the likes of McNeese in southeastern Louisiana and Grambling in Southern. Maybe Tulane, other places like that. Those programs that aren't getting the run at the top shelf quote-unquote prospects during the early signing period because they're all gobbled up by the bigger Power 5 programs. So this is their time. It's not only about the kids, but the National Signing Day period, the traditional one that just occurred on Wednesday, means something to all these other programs. I hate to tell y'all, there's more than one team in the state of Louisiana. Okay? It's just not LSU. There's other teams like UL and like Louisiana Tech and UL Monroe and Grambling and Southern and Tulane and McNeese and Nichols and Southeastern. And all those places have good coaches and all those places have good quality kids and players that were overlooked and weren't paid attention to because they were a little bit small or whatever. And they still go out there and give out effort and have the opportunity to live their dream. So, yeah. National Signing Day doesn't mean as much as it used to, but it still does. And look, just look at Westgate High School down in the Barry. Javon Marks going to Missouri Baptist University. He gets a chance to play ball. Latrell Bethel, he's going to go walk on and be a member of Louisiana College. Tyrese Jackson, who's dealt with injuries his junior year and his senior year. The Cajuns were recruiting him. South Alabama was too. He ends up going to Colorado State. You know how big of a deal that is for a kid from New Iberia, Louisiana, to get an opportunity to go play at Colorado State? To leave home? That's what it's all about. Giving these kids the opportunity to leave home and try to better themselves with an athletic scholarship. And whether it's Tyrese Jackson going to Colorado State from Westgate, or whether it's them sending not one but two guys to Jackson State University in the SWAC with Keith Lopez and Markievicz Eddie. It's still an opportunity to play college football, and that's what it's all about. It's not about ESPN being at the school's gymnasium with the cameras rolling, with the hats and the shirts and the mom and the dad and the grandma and the grandpa and all the boys in the background hooping and hollering, okay, and answering questions from national media. That's not what it's about. The recruiting process is now is not dependent on National Signing Day for the majority of the Power 5 programs. It's all about the smaller programs now for the traditional National Signing Day. Hell, I would be okay with them separating and saying, okay, all Power 5 schools, you guys get the December National Signing Day period. Everybody else, y'all got January. Or you got the one in February. Why not? McNeese puts up their class. McNeese, Northwestern State, all those other programs, they lock up their classes now. Southern Grambling do the same thing. Jackson State, Texas Southern, Prairie View, A&M. That's what it's all about. So, yeah, National Signing Day this week might not have had the juice, might not have been as quote-unquote sexy as it used to be, but it hasn't decreased in what it means to these kids and to these programs, both on the college and the high school level. And it's still worth celebrating. Coming up next, RPOs with RP3. Cody assures me that he is ready for this. Yes, I get the thumbs up. That means yes.
Yes, that was what is that from? Is it from Gladiator? The thumbs up, thumbs down, the whole Roman Empire thing?
Yes.
Yeah, that wasn't that reference. That was the Triple H. Triple H used to do that. That's what I'm referencing.
Are you not entertained?
Yes. Do you see? My family vacation to the pyramids of Giza. Do you see? The canals of Venice. Do you see? That's a South Park episode.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. I have that at home. RPOs with RP3 coming up next right here on Rap Game with RP3 on 103.7 The Game, your home for the LSU Tigers.
Blue poncho.
Shotgun formation. Cody snaps the questions.
Dre.
And RP3 makes the reads. This is RPOs with RP3.
Blue poncho.
Omaha, Omaha. We return. Rap Game with RP3 right here on 103.7 The Game. Of course, we're hanging out in the 237 Roof Studios. And you heard the man. It's time for RPOs with RP3. It might be my favorite part of the week, Ray. I'm not going to lie. I enjoy your rant, but this may be my favorite part of the week.
So, I agree. This is my favorite.
Personally. But let's start talking a little NBA basketball. The Toronto Raptors, if you remember them, they're still a team. They're a franchise. They're a thing.
They're one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference.
As a matter of fact, they are. And they got even better before the trade deadline hit by making a move. And now, longtime Memphis Grizzly Mark Gasol is running mates with long-time-ish San Antonio Spur Kawhi Leonard. RPO time, Ray. Toronto is or has made the best deal at the trade deadline in the NBA.
Pass.
And that's
a hard pass.
Really?
The best deal, I would say the Shumpert deal to the Rockets was a better deal than the Marc Gasol deal. And the best deal was the Milwaukee Bucks getting a post player who can shoot three-pointers
right. For
a bag of garbage. And that's exactly...
A G League lineup, and two white guys.
The Bucks acquired Nikola Mirotic from the Pels for nothing, like a second-round pick and a bunch of guys that'll be G League players. The Bucks have the best record in not only the Eastern Conference, but the NBA.
Yep.
They have an MVP candidate in the Greek Freak.
Yes,
they
Giannis can now pass it to Nikola.
Yes. And they have also have some terrific younger players around them. This gives them a veteran guy who can be a three-point shooter for them and get rebounds. So they get him for next to nothing, and you're the best team in the Eastern Conference. You just improved yourself. If this was Mark Gasol from 4 years ago, then it would be Mark Gasol. But Mark Gasol is not the same player that he once was when the grindhouse was grinding out of control there in Memphis. It's just not the same player. It's a nice pickup, don't get me wrong, but if you ask me right off the top of my head, I think it's the third best free agent. I think it's the third best trade deal that was made, and it's not even close.
That's why we go to you, Ray, because we need the takes like that. Now, if you thought we were going to get through this edition of RPOs without talking a little football, you would be very wrong. So let's talk football real quick. Simple question here, Raymond. RPO, Rob Gronkowski is about to retire.
I'm going to run with that. It just feels that way. It feels that he came back after they lost last year's Super Bowl that he came back and he was not the same player. If you watched Gronk play this season, at what time during the season did you say that's Rob Gronkowski?
Even in fantasy football, he did not.
He only had what, like two or three touchdowns this year?
It was not his good.
He was not the red zone threat. He was not the same player. You can tell he's taken a beating. Now, personally, would I love to see him back playing again? Yes, because anytime Gronk is still in the league, it's a great thing.
Right.
He's the leader of the bros.
He is the bro.
He is the president of the bro nation.
Him and Matt Rill hang out all the time.
He's the president, and he says great things, and he's a funny dude. He's a great personality, and having him play in the league is a good thing for the NFL. But, man, to go out on top as a Super Bowl champion, you got nothing left to prove. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. You know this. So what else is he going to prove?
He's got the Gronk cruise to worry about. You got to make sure all that's set up to run right.
And no one wins off the field more.
No, they don't. They do not.
So he's got
maybe Tom Brady.
He's got the rings. But see, Tom doesn't. Do you really think Tom Brady enjoys his life? He's married to Giselle. But do you really think he enjoys his life
as much as
Gronk?
No, you're right.
No.
You're right.
No one loves life more than Rob Gronkowski.
Fair point.
So he's already winning off the field. He's got the rings. He's got the records. He's got the stats. He's going to the Hall of Fame.
So
what
hang
else?
It up, you big kid, is basically what you're saying.
I want him to come back, but I think this is it. I think he's going to retire.
He is, and forever will be, retirement or not, a national treasure, Rob Gronkowski.
And someone better lock him up for a television deal right now.
He could host anything.
I just have him replace Booger McFarland. No, I'll love the Booger LSU guy.
Right.
Okay. But have him on the Monday night broadcast just saying random stuff. He'll be picking up chicks in the stands.
See, Musburger, that's how you do it. Don't be creepy.
Be like, "What's up, ladies?
I'm Rob
Gronkowski. Two tickets to the Gronk cruise.
Let's go to the sideline. Sideline report from our man Rob Gronkowski. They cut to him. He's shirtless. He's just shirtless with a tie on, though. He's still got a tie. No shirt. That's the best.
Hanging out.
I hope he doesn't retire either, but it's kind of looking that way. We shall see. Time will tell. We got another RPO coming your way now, and guess what? It's football related. Imagine that. Not, though, NFL related. So the plot thickens here. Big Game Bob. You remember him, Ray?
I do remember Big Game Bob. Yes, national championship winning coach at Oklahoma.
Right. Yes. Very, very good coach, as a matter of fact.
One of the best coaches of his era, Hall of Fame coach.
What would you say if I told you he is returning to head coaching, but not in the NCAA? No, not in the NFL, nay, but to the XFL. The Dallas franchise in the XFL will be led by Big Game Bob Stoops. RPO on this for me, Ray. Stoops will succeed in the XFL at Dallas.
I'm going to take an option.
Okay,
because
it's so far out.
Okay, because it's so far out. But I will say this. A tremendous coach. He's got a couple years away from the grind. Being a head coach in the XFL will not have the stress related to it that it does running a major college program.
You think?
Well, it's a different kind of thing. What I will say, though, if you're the XFL, the first incarnation was all about shock value. It was rushed. It was a rushed product thrown together. They were not prepared properly. They did not secure sites like they did, and they rushed it out there, and it suffered because of it, and it only lasted 1 year. This tells me that this is legit. This legitimizes this version of the XFL. The first part of that was getting Andrew Luck's father,
Oliver,
to come in to run the league. Okay, so that gives you some legitimacy. The fact that they were waiting 2 years. They're going to let the American Alliance Football League go first. They're going to wait. They're not coming until 2020. They're securing sites. They're going to do it the right way. They're not rushing the product, and they're getting legitimate big-name coaches to come in. Whether he wins or loses for that Dallas franchise, I do not know. But what I do know is when you hire Bob Stoops, you just made your league even more legitimate in a lot of people's eyes.
That's a good thing. I want the XFL to be legitimate. Real quick, rapid fire, if you will, here on this RPO. Let's assume the Pelicans are being forced, more or less, to play Anthony Davis. So I will ask you, RPO, the Pelicans will regret having to play AD the rest of this season.
That's a run all day long. Because here's the thing. Those guys on that roster already are playing hard, and they've nearly defeated numerous good teams playoff teams. They've come close. They've shown a lot of heart, a lot of grit. When you add a generational talent onto the court with those guys, do you think they're not going to give forth effort? No. AD's not going to tank it because it's going to hurt his trade value. So he wants to leave. So he's going to play hard. The rest of the Pels are going to play hard. Alvin Gentry wants to save his job, so he's going to coach him up, which means they're going to play themselves possibly out of the lottery.
Worst case scenario.
And then Davis is going to be traded, and you're not going to have a lottery pick either. It would be a fitting end for Dell Demps' reign as GM.
Pull no punches, Ray. Pull no punches.
He's just the worst.
Just terrible.
Just terrible. When we come back, we're going to talk LSU hoops, baseball, football. Hell, we may even talk gymnastics with our good friend Tyler Nunez of Tiger Rag right here on Rap Game with RP3 on 103.7 The Game, your home for the LSU Tigers. Welcome back to Rap Game with RP3. I'm your host, Raymond Parsa III, here on 103.7 The Game, your home for the LSU Tigers. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios here in Upper Lafayette. You give us a call on the ARCO Equipment Hotline at 337-706-0111. Just a reminder that this Saturday's LSU men's basketball game inside the PMAC versus Auburn can be listened to live right here on 103.7 Game. Pre-game, 12:30 tip, going to be 1 o'clock. And now we're going to head out to the ARCO Equipment Hotline, talk a little bit more about that matchup with our good friend from Tiger Rag, the one and only Tyler Nunez. Tyler, how are you this morning, brother?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing good, man, doing good. Let's start things off with the hardwood, and then we'll touch on football as well. But let's go back on Wednesday. It's tough to win on the road in the SEC. We know that. Mississippi State is a good team. Ben Hallen is a very good coach, a great coach. They knew it was going to be a fight, and it ended up being that. They needed overtime to take down the Bulldogs. And Naz Reid came up big with a big shot there in overtime, and he played lights out for the majority of the game. They get out of Stark Vegas with the victory. Just give me your thoughts, your impressions about what you saw from the team on Wednesday night in Stark Vegas, Tyler.
Yeah, they were able to make the trip, and it was a good basketball game. I think they showed a lot of grit. I think that Will Wade probably isn't excited about the fact that they were playing from behind again, but I think that these guys are showing that they're really comfortable playing under pressure like that, both home and away. And the fact that they're doing this on the road is really impressive to me, especially considering how young a team they are. I think that there's obviously a lot of room to grow. They keep going through these, like, 5 to 6 minute stretches where they're not scoring and they're turning the ball over a lot. They did it against Arkansas where they let them build a 20-11 lead. They were up 16-8 on Mississippi State before they went on a 17-0 run over the span of about 6 minutes to take a lead, and then they had to come back again in the second half. So I think that they want to eliminate that. If they can get rid of those 5-6 minute stretches and kind of play a full 40 minutes, I think this team will be in much better shape. But the fact that they're able to do this both on the road and against good teams, Mississippi State is a really good basketball team. Their SEC record is deceiving. They're 4-5. They're number 9 in the SEC. But top to bottom, they're a really good basketball team. So I think it's really impressive. They still have a lot of work to do, but they're in good shape.
Tyler, tell me about, you know, coming up on Saturday. Auburn started off, you know, they were co-regular season champs last year of the SEC. They started off highly ranked this year. They stumbled. They had a tough stretch there. But they have seemingly been able to bounce back. I think Auburn, would you agree, is one of those teams on paper. You go, well, they're not having a great season, but they seem to have turned a corner, right? They're a far better team than their record indicates.
One of their best players is out during that stretch, Wiley. I mean, he's really instrumental to their success. They're a very good basketball team. They look a lot more like teams that LSU played in the regular season, in the non-conference schedule. They're a lot smaller. They're going to take a lot of threes, and they're going to try to spread LSU out on defense. I don't think a 1-3-1 is something that LSU is going to have a lot of success with against Auburn, because they don't have a lot of Auburn's not going to try to pound it inside on them. They're just going to try to outshoot them and score on them in transition. So transition defense is going to be really important. I think KenPom has Auburn as, like, the number 14 team in the country. I think, like, this Auburn team is very, very good. Do not sleep on Auburn. the PMAC should hopefully be like it was last weekend against Arkansas. There are still tickets available as far as I'm aware. So if you want to experience a good college basketball atmosphere, I highly recommend it. If it's anything like it was last week, get down to the PMAC. It's going to be crazy.
Talking to Tyler Nunez, a Tiger Rag. Tyler, you said, you know, you mentioned that this team has these stretches where they can't score, and during those same stretches, they tend to turn over the ball a lot.
Yeah.
We're halfway through the SEC slate of the schedule. Is this something that's just part of the DNA of this team that you're just going to that Will Wade's just going to have to ride out, that there's going to be stretches in every game that they're going to have this happen, and that they just have to have the grit to be able to overcome that? Or do you think this is something that can, there's still enough time for it to be kind of resolved and it not to be such an issue game after game?
I don't think Will Wade would accept that it's a part of his team's DNA. I think he takes this very physical. I think it's an effort thing. I think that whenever LSU's gotten comfortable a couple times, they're up 11-7 on Arkansas when it happened, and things were going their way when it started. They were up 16-8 on Mississippi State, and things were going their way when it happened. I think it's a matter of playing with a sense of urgency even when they have a lead. And I think that that's something that's fixable. I think that if it keeps happening, then yeah, maybe it's not. But you got to think that LSU, the players are starting to realize, like, oh, when we take our foot off the gas, bad things happen for an extended period of time, and then we have to crawl ourselves out of a hole. I don't think they want to keep having to crawl themselves out of a hole. I think they want to be the ones digging a hole for the other team. So I think it's fixable. It's going to be tough to do that against Auburn, because Auburn's just such a deadly three-point shooting team that it's tough to just, like, take them out of the game. But hopefully we don't see LSU just kind of start playing lackadaisically on offense and turning the ball over kind of nonchalantly.
Tyler, could it simply be on, you know, it being with so many guys that are you know, younger on this year's LSU team, could it be just taking certain teams maybe a little bit for granted? I mean, you would hope that they wouldn't have that kind of mentality with the murderer's row that they have coming up. I mean, we have Auburn on Saturday, then it's at Kentucky in Lexington next week, and then on the 23rd, oh, by the way, the number one ranked team in the country comes to town. Is it just, you know, through this little bit of a stretch right now that they're playing down to the competition a little bit? I mean, when they start off SEC play, they were amped up for Bama because it was the first game of conference play, plus Bama had just came off beating Kentucky. You know,
right.
You know, Arkansas, they obviously kind of looked past, even though they needed overtime to beat them because they're one of the lesser teams. They seem to be really up to play Ole Miss, who at the time was ranked in the top 25. Is that playing a role in this? Is that they're playing up to the competition and playing down to the competition?
I think they took Arkansas at home for granted. I think they thought that the home crowd would kind of carry them through it, even if things got kind of spotty. And then all of a sudden they were down by 18 in the second half. So I think it does happen. I don't see that happening anytime soon, though. They're not going to be able to do that against Auburn. And I don't think it's Mississippi State either. I think Mississippi State's a really good basketball team. Will Wade referred to it yesterday during his tip-off luncheon multiple times, just stepping up in weight class. I think that's a very accurate depiction of what they've done in this part of their schedule. That's really tough.
We're on with Tyler Nunez of Tiger Rag. We're talking about the LSU men's basketball team, and I was asking Tyler if he felt that the team kind of plays down to the competition a little bit. They were amped up for Alabama, who just came off the win over Kentucky in the SEC opener at home. They got amped up and were ready to play at Ole Miss, who was ranked in the top 25 at that time, and they came out with a terrific game plan. But they played down to the likes of Missouri and struggled and needed to come back to win that game. They played down to Arkansas and needed overtime to beat them the first time and then lost to them at the PMAC a week ago Saturday. So, Tyler, you were saying about, you know, how you felt that they just didn't, you know, they weren't prepared for Arkansas, but they won't have any time to kind of play down to competition because it's going to be all elite teams that they're going to be playing from here on out.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that, I mean, like you said, they got Kentucky next week, Auburn on Saturday. They got a game against Georgia in there, but that's on the road. And then Florida's no gimme either. And then they got Tennessee. So I think that, they don't really have time to play down in the competition. If they go 4-2, they're already 1-0. If they go 4-2 in this 6-game stretch, they're in really good shape for SEC play. I think that they'll have an opportunity to finish really high in the SEC standings and get a really good spot in the NCAA tournament. They set themselves up well. We're at the midway point of the SEC season. They're 8-1. I don't think many people expected them to be here. I think I had 6-3 in my head at this point. So they've done a really good job at this point.
We're on with Tyler Nunes, a Tiger Rack. Tyler, let's switch over to football, brother. I want to touch on, obviously, it was National Signing Day. The traditional National Signing Day was on Wednesday, so the class of 2019 is in the books. LSU had a terrific haul, ranked in the top five by most national recruiting services. The only thing is that the teams ahead of them, two of them play in the SEC West, and the other one plays in the SEC East. So, I know it can be deflating for LSU fans out there about, well, you know, Alabama's ranked ahead of us in the rankings again. Texas A&M is ahead of us in the recruiting rankings, and so is Georgia. And two of the top 10 recruits in the state, Alabama came in and poached one and both of them in LSU's backyard. So from your perspective, look, the reality is it's a terrific class. It's Ed Orgeron's best class since being the head coach at LSU. So it's a great haul, but yet there still seems to be negativity around this great class because of the fact that Alabama was able to come in and poach two guys from their backyard.
Yeah, I get it, but at the same time, Alabama came and got a couple, but they mitigated the damage compared to previous years. Alabama used to just come here and clean house.
Absolutely.
Losing a couple four stars, I mean, that's pretty good relative to where LSU's been in the past. So I think Orgeron really made a statement this year going, and he got John Emery, he got Derek Stingley Jr., he got the best ones. I think that this could be much worse. This could be much worse as far as Alabama coming to get LSU players. LSU went and got some players from Alabama too. So I think that LSU did a really fine job as far as like the fact that there are teams ahead of them. For me, like the top 10 recruiting classes, I think that you never really know how guys are going to pan out. So that number 10 recruiting class right now might end up being the best recruiting class in the country 3 years from now based on what players are doing on the field. So I think they put themselves in a position to have some success. I think it's pretty much locked down, though. They don't really have any spots left to give, so I think they got what they wanted. I think that they could still use a little bit of help on the offensive line and the interior defensive line, but I think that overall they can't really complain. I think they did a really good job.
You're talking about defensive line. I think what compounds everything on Wednesday, Tyron. I agree with you. I think it's a terrific class, and if you're in the top 10, there's very little difference between the number 3 recruiting class and number 8 because it's all then about development. So you're getting the best of the best right there. And you're right. Emery was what, a Georgia commit that they flipped, and had him stay closer home. And look, you got Derek Stingley Jr. as well. I think what compounds things for some of the LSU fan base is the last thing of the day was Ish, right? And that was I think it's a perception thing. I think it's because it was the last thing of the day and they didn't get him and he went to Alabama. I think it compounds that. I think you hear the narrative, well, Ed Orgeron's supposed to be able to recruit defensive linemen and he's missing these guys and they're going to other places. And I'm like, yeah, but that may be true. But you can't base that on one class. I think everything was a perfect storm the other day in a meet. It was because it was a meet high, for one, and the history with them not going to LSU. Yeah. Lee became the first guy since, 2002 to do it. And because it was Ish and because it was Alabama, I think that's coloring everyone's perspective of how terrific a haul it was.
Defensive tackle, too. Ed Orgeron after the Alabama game pointed to the defensive line as a point, as a position where they needed to beat Alabama, and they didn't do it again with Ish. And like, I get it, it's frustrating, but get them next year. You know what I mean? I think overall LSU did a really good job with this class, and I think that there's plenty of room for this class to grow. I think that LSU still needs some help on the defensive line, but I think they're going to be okay, especially considering how many returners they have coming back on the defensive line. And they have a lot of edge rushers. People keep forgetting Caleb Hunt Chaisson exists. I don't understand why he's not in the equation. He was set to be LSU's best edge rusher last season. He's going to come back next season, presumably with the same expectations. So I think that LSU's going to be just fine.
Tyler, we'll wrap it up with this. A total of 6 Tigers are going to the record hall of 90 SEC players that are going to be taking part in the NFL Combine there at Lucas Oil Stadium in Indianapolis. You know, Devin White, Cole Tracy, Greedy Williams, Nick Brissett, Foster Moreau, John Battle. Who of those six can help themselves the most at the Combine?
I'm going to go Foster Moreau. I think that right now he's kind of expected to be the I think they have him projected, as far as by the Combine score, I mean, take it with a grain of salt. These are usually kind of, you know, up in the air. But Foster Moreau did a really good job. He's expected to be like a special teams kind of backup situation. I think he can really turn himself into an NFL starter with what he does at the Combine, not only on the field, but they usually do a ton of interviews over there, too. And once teams talk to him, they're going to realize that they want this guy on their team. I know we talked about that a little bit last week after the or a couple weeks ago with his performance at the Senior Bowl, but I think that he's just such an impressive kid. He's such a tough kid, and he's such a good speaker, and he really has a lot of loyalty. I think that teams are going to be lining up to take Foster Moreau.
And Tyler, we'll wrap it up. We'll get you out of here on this, brother. The football team gets a 10-win season, New Year's Day 6 bowl victory, terrific recruiting class. The men's basketball team's ranked in the top 25. Looks like they're a contender to make it to the Sweet 16 right now. And then the baseball team is starting off the season ranked number one in most people's eyes and has national championship aspirations and expectations. How crazy has this kind of calendar, athletic calendar year been there in Baton Rouge?
It's been fantastic. And that's just the men's sports. The women's sports are doing well, too. Gymnastics is top five. LSU softball is expected to do really well this season. I think that it's a really good time to be an LSU sports fan. I mean, the fact that basketball, baseball, and football are good at the same time, I don't know the last time that's ever happened. So I think that it's a good time to be an LSU fan, that's for sure.
Tyler, appreciate you coming on as always, brother. Enjoy the weekend, and we'll talk to you soon.
Sounds good.
That's right. I promoed that. I said there possibly could be some gymnastics talk, and Tyler delivered right there at the end. That wraps up our LSU talk with Tyler Nunes from Tiger Rag. We will wrap up today's edition and the week here on Rap Game with RP3 right here on 103.7 The Game, your home for the LSU Tigers. Welcome back to Rap Game with RP3. I'm your host, Raymond Parsa III, here on 103.7 The Game. We're broadcasting live from the 237 Roof Studios. Programming reminder. After us, of course, will be the Jim Rome Show from 11 to 2. Then it will be the Jordy Holtberg Show with the one and only, the blonde bomber himself, Jordy Holtberg, from 2 to 4. Then the brother himself, Ben Love, will be having bumper-to-bumper sports live out there at STM. He'll be on campus there broadcasting live because it'll be bumper-to-bumper sports from 4 to 7, and then Ben will be on the call for the 4A game of the week, Westgate versus STM. That'll start at 7 o'clock, pregame show tip around 7:30. Also, reminder, this weekend, listen to the final shows of On the Trail with Ben Love and Shea Dixon, Saturday morning, 9 a.m., and then again replayed on Sunday at 8 a.m. Also, if you have an opportunity, check out the producers. They're the people that do all the work behind the scenes here. They get to have their own show. Check them out. Support them. I sometimes tweet at them. It's usually sarcastic, but I try to do my part.
Yeah, it was right after that started happening that I handed over controls of the 103.7 Twitter account to the famous CD. I no longer have anything to do with that.
I do believe that there was a ratings uptick last week for some reason. that was when with you and... Blaine were in here, and world-famous Clint D was out. You know, look, he's world-famous. He's out there doing Mardi Gras stuff.
Whatever he does. He's like just the mom from Wedding Crashers. You never know what he's doing in there.
So turn into the producers this Saturday, 10 to 12:30, guys. So I know football's over. College has been in the books. NFL is done. Super Bowl's done. We're going to gear up for the Combine. There's nothing left. You're jonesing for some football.
Already.
But I got you covered, Acadiana.
How so?
The Alliance of American Football starts this weekend.
Football AF is here. Yes.
Okay. Now, I know it's easy to dump on the new football leagues. Okay, I get it. But trust me, Acadiana, you're going to want to check out the Alliance of American Football. Okay, first of all, it won't be hard to find. They have a broadcasting agreement with the NFL Network. That's right. The NFL Network is going to be broadcasting games as well as CBS, CBS Sports, and TNT. You can even stream the Alliance of American Football. So let's start there. You have access to it. But you're telling me, well, Ray, there's not a team in Louisiana.
It's true.
There's not a team here. Not a problem. I got a team about 5 hours away that you can root for. It's the Memphis Express. I'll tell you why you should, because I've already aligned myself with the Memphis Express. Their head coach is Mike Singletary. Hello. How awesome is that? You know he's going to be animated on the sidelines.
Hello.
Okay. They open up the season, by the way, at the Birmingham Iron.
The Iron.
On Saturday at 3 p.m. But also, you're like, well, Ray, I love Mike Singletary. He has the most intense stare of all time. Why else would I root for the Memphis Express and watch this Alliance of American Football you speak of? Because apparently the Memphis Express had the mindset that they wanted to recruit and have every former LSU player that's no longer in the NFL on their roster. Zach Menberger, quarterback. Toby Weathersby, offensive tackle. Sam Montgomery, Greg Gilmore, defensive tackles. They're on the roster too. And the Memphis Express have not one, but two former LSU punters on the roster in Brad Wing and Josh Jasper. You're jonesing for football. Give it a try. I'm going to Alliance of American Football. I don't even get the name right. Rap game with RP3 in the books. Y'all have a great and safe weekend. We will talk to you on Monday.